Good morning. My name is Chaplain Derek Ross. I'm a retired Navy chaplain, and I'm affiliated with the International Council of Community Churches. It's my pleasure this morning to share the Word of God with you through Scripture reading. And our lesson today will be taken from the book of St. Mark, chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. Hear the word of the Lord. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Hello, Wilson Church family. Today we welcome another member of the ICCC to contribute to our service. The Reverend Dr. Derek Ross has been a faithful member of the ICCC, and Reverend Dr. Derek is a retired commander with the United States Navy. He served overseas, he was in the first Gulf War, and he also served the military in many foreign countries, and I believe was 30 years in the military. He fulfilled a vital role, that of chaplain. So in that role, whether he was in the United States or abroad, he was usually working with service men and women, and he might be counseling someone from his stance as a Christian chaplain, if they were Jewish or Muslim. Anyway, he has a wide world view. And certainly in his role as chaplain, he's also had that experience of having to walk alone and bravely through some very special circumstances. Chaplaincy is an important ministry, both to our armed services and also in hospitals. In fact, during the COVID crisis, many hospital chaplains have been right there on the front lines, ministering to patients and to their families. So I introduce you today to the Reverend Dr. Derek Ross.
I so appreciate Derek's willingness to read the scriptures for us today. What an incredible gift that we have had. I know I said all that stuff at the top about looking forward to being here and worshiping all at once here, but there has been a unique gift of the pandemic of being able to draw in other voices, voices from around the country and sometimes around the world. And that's something I would love to still figure out how to do, even when we're able to gather into this space, because I think it's so important for us to hear other voices. And it's not always possible to get those other voices to come to our place on a Sunday morning. But we'll be looking forward to how we can be creative to bring some of the other voices that listen and love God into our space. But for now, let's just say a word of prayer as we get into our teaching today. God, we are grateful for the moment in which we find ourselves. As we enter into this first day of Lent, this first Sunday of Lent, we look forward to the journey, but we admit we are also fearful of it. We never like to take a long, hard look at ourselves because we fear what we might find. God, in these moments, I pray that you would give us the map of your grace, that we may follow in your steps. Amen. So, some of you will remember this. As the years go on, it becomes less and less real that I can say, hey, you know the show. But maybe some of you remember the show Happy Days. I used to love to watch it when I was much younger. But one of the scenes that I remember is right in the opening scene. And all the different characters are coming on the screen. And then there's this one moment where the Fonz goes to a mirror and he pulls out his comb and he's about to comb his hair and just goes, hey. You know the scene that I'm talking about. Because the Fonz could look in the mirror and go, hey, there's nothing I can change to make that any more perfect. Well, if you're anything like me, maybe you don't do that. I don't look in the mirror and go, hey, I might go, oh, you know, like I've been going through my entire day like this. Why didn't anybody tell me that somehow I'm becoming an old man? Sometimes the mirror can be a concerning thing. Maybe you're somebody that avoids mirrors altogether. And if you are that person that would rather avoid mirrors altogether, Lent is a nightmare for you. Because Lent is all about taking that hard look, though not at the outside. It's about taking a hard look at the inside. You know, sometimes we get the idea that Lent is about the sacrifices that we make. We're trying to show God how holy and how serious we are, or maybe we just don't really think about it. It's just the religious duty that we have during the course of Lent to give something up or add a couple hours of charity into our lives that we don't typically do. But Lent is more about getting rid of those things that are getting in the way of us experiencing life, the life that God calls us to, the life that really is truly human. See, us human creatures spend a great deal of time adorning the outside of ourselves. Sometimes I wonder if we spend so much time adorning the outside because we know that what is inside is kind of a mess. I'll give you an example. I had a 1980 Trans Am once in my life for a brief period of time. It was beautiful. It was black, turbocharged. It had a gold Firebird on the hood. It was just like the Smokey and the Bandit car. Again, another old reference. It was just like Smokey and the Bandit. T-tops. I felt like Bandit driving down the road. It was fast when it worked. See, the couple times that I was able to get it on the road, it was so much fun to drive. But the problem is, the transmission didn't quite work the way that it needed to work, and the rest of the engine leaked just as badly. My garage always had a pool of odd-colored liquids at the bottom, trying to identify where the leaks were. After a while, it just became a really good-looking museum piece that sat in my garage. Eventually, I just let it go because I didn't have the resources to get it fixed up at that time. It was actually more expensive for me to have it just sitting there and keep trying to fix it up. And so I let it go to somebody who could give it some attention. And I imagine that person who had the resources to give it the attention on the inside, who could really make it run, give it the things that it needed to run on the inside, has now made that car all that it was ever made to be. At least that's what I want to imagine in my head because I love that car. See, that's what Lent is all about. Because we find ourselves inspired by Jesus, who went through this glorious moment of baptism and then went straight to the desert for 40 days. Our passage has Jesus experiencing what we would consider one of the most extraordinary moments of our lives. Jesus, up until that time, not much is written about him. You could argue he's living in relative obscurity at that point. But then he goes out to this baptism by John, and a voice from heaven, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. And then a dove lands on his head to symbolize the baptism of the Spirit of God that was going to anoint Jesus as the Messiah of Israel. That feels like the glory moment. That feels like that's the time to get out of the water and go do, well, anything that you want to do. But the passage says that the Spirit of God drove him into the wilderness. Why? See, because when we receive the call and love of God, and we understand who it is that we can really be, it's time to make sure that the inside matches the outside. Jesus denied himself all of the external things that we use to shore up our own identity, our own sense of self or comfort. When Jesus is out in the wilderness, there were no people to affirm him, no one to listen to his speeches, no one to heal, no one to even shut down the basic hunger of his belly, all so that he could be alone with God, just him, and hear his mission clearly. Now, I want to affirm again that this long, hard look that we're talking about is hard. It's hard. If it was easy, we'd all be delightfully introspective. We'd all be honest. We'd all be healthy. We would break down the cultural systems of oppression that surround us. We would flip our priorities so that we are solving the problems of war and disease and injustice and any of the other long list of ills that plague us. But we get distracted. We get stuck. I know for sure that I hold on to things sometimes far too long that aren't helping me. As I was writing this sermon, I couldn't help but remember an old truck that I just loved. Old green truck that worked some of the time, but also spent a great deal of time broken down on the road. I held on way too long to that truck because I love that truck. We've all been in relationships that maybe we held on in those relationships far too long. I've had habits of my life that rarely helped. All they did was distract me from the pain or my problems for a short amount of time. Because, see, it's easy to get the object confused with the goal. I could say that I loved my truck and didn't want to let go, but what I really needed was reliable locomotion. That's what I needed. I could say I wanted the relationships that I found myself in, but you know what I needed? I needed love. That's what I really needed. My habits didn't heal me, but healing is what I needed, not distraction, not the numbing of my habits. The wilderness of sacrifice isn't about showing God how holy you are, but it's a reminder to you of how human you are, how you get distracted so easily, and how we might be just missing the point. The wilderness is all about listening. I don't know if you've seen the television program Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. I was going to pull the scene in today, but I decided I'm not going to bring in too much multimedia today. Being Lent, just give us space to breathe a little bit. But if you watch that program, last week's was featuring a challenging issue that they were having with their company regarding how different races were viewed within their corporate situation. The manager, who was a white person, wanted to hold a town hall, well-intentioned town hall. Let's air out some of these things. Let's have an honest conversation about race in our company, and maybe we can find some healing. And as they pulled together the town hall, what I thought was so interesting what they did in this program was how this large group of people, you know who was willing to do all of the talking? All of the white folks in the room, talking about their feelings about race and and however they're offended or what they think. And then, of course, one girl trailed into announcing her own engagement. It was a comedy show. But then when was the African-American was asked if they wanted to weigh in, they just go, nope, I don't want to weigh in. Because they knew that they weren't in a safe environment. They knew they weren't in a space where people were willing to listen. Lent isn't about offering our opinions on things. Lent is about being quiet and listening to what's going on for other people, listening to what's going on in our culture. You know, it's easy to get defensive about stuff because we know that if we really listened, that our lives would have to change, that we would have to adjust our behavior, that we may not be as comfortable as we were before, because truly listening in the season of Lent, going out into the wilderness of our lives, always requires change. You know, I thought back of all of the arguments that just in our country that we've had over the course of this past year. It's almost been a year since the last time we could meet together in this sanctuary. The pandemic began over a year ago. We just began to be aware of it right in Lent, Lent of last year. We began to be aware of how serious it was and shut things down. And I started thinking about our last year. All of the things that we have been arguing about have at its root our desire to change nothing. We don't want to change. We don't want to adjust our behavior. Think about all the arguments simply about wearing masks or social distancing. People don't want to close things down because we don't want to change, even if science and the call of love is telling us that we need to do something else, even if it's just for a year. We don't want to look at systemic racism or cultural bias, because it means that we'll have to rethink our institutions or our lifestyle or the people that we've called hero. We don't want to engage with transgender people who have been spending time this year asking for just basic rights and acceptance because their very existence challenges the cultural norms that we have believed over the course of the 20th century. We don't really want to know the lives of people coming in through our southern border because we know that that will have to change who we are as a society. Pushback always means that we don't want to change the way we live our lives or what we believe. So we're going into next month. It's Women's History Month. We've been able to focus in on hearing the African-American voices in our country. And I hope that you've had the ability to truly listen for the word of God through these other voices. And as we're going into March, Women's History Month, I hope that we can equally listen to the women in our midst who are trying to point out how things are not equal in our society. They are inequitable, unjust in our society. I hope that we can listen. God calls us to the wilderness to listen, to let go of our comfort for a season, and just be quiet. So this is my charge to you this Lenten season, to take time this week and ask yourself, how have you constructed a life that causes you to not be able to hear what is true? Are you calling it some kind of virtuous-sounding name? Maybe you call it freedom, or tradition, or patriotism, or family values. It's just walls that we construct to insulate ourselves from what God is calling us to do. Are you scared to follow Jesus into the wilderness because you know it leads to a cross? I get that. Dear friends, it will lead us to a cross. And I believe it will lead to the feeding of the hungry, the healing of the broken, hope for the hopeless, sight for the blind, a song for the lonely, and love for all, because that's the journey to the cross. As we face our cross, what I can assure you, if you are willing to come along with us on this Lenten journey, you will find new life. Amen.